Hey Kislev, Thursday the 27th of November, Rabbi Amram Nemeth, tree planting.
The share actually is about slightly about skulls. I realized this morning that my niece is undergoing operation on her head. She's having a serious operation, so hopefully the Torah which we're learning together should be successful for Shlema for Shiva Basa Shiva Esther. Chazal tell us that if you have a problem in a certain area, then you should learn a Torah which is related to that area, and that should be a skula for a four or for success in any certain area. On Friday night, we walk home from shul, and Chazal tell us that there are two malachim accompanying us when we come home from shul. This is what everyone knows. There's one good malach, and there's one bad malach. And they accompany you home from shul until your house, and then, when you arrive in your house, if they see the table set, and everyone ready for Shabbos, people waiting to start the meal and to sing Zemiris and to be ready in a Shabbos atmosphere, then the good Malach says, I hope it will be like this next week, and the bad Malach is forced to answer Amen. However, if the converse happens, if something else happens, i.e. the opposite, that no one's ready for Shabbos, the house is not set, and no one's interested in the fact that Shabbos is here, then the bad Malach says, he gets the power to say, I hope that it will be like this next week, good malach, and then forced to say Amen. That's what the Gemara tells us in Shabbos. It's two malachim come with us, and they have a conversation, is it good or bad? And they're forced to say Amen. Then afterwards, some of us say a pasuk of Ki malach of Yitzav alach, Nishmalach of Achal Dorochecha. Not everyone says it. Ki malach of Yitzav alach, malachim are accompanying you, Nishmalach of Achal Dorochecha. So they explain that now, these two malachim that have come home with us, they're now going back. Well, they were here for a mission to see whether the house is set for Shabbos, and now they've gone. So now a person might feel a bit scared, maybe he's not with that immense protection that he had of the malachim before. So we remind him that it says in Tehillim, Ki malach of Yitzav alach, Nishmalach b'chol derechecha. Which means that, generally, it seems to be that the malachim always accompanying a person, giving him the extra level of protection. That's what we discussed today. Does a person have a malach walking around them and protecting them the whole time? Or is it something which is only for the very righteous, for the big tzaddikim? And how does it come into the Rabban in this week's Sedra as well? So there are three main kind of animals which aren't kosher. There's of course an animal which doesn't chew the cud and doesn't have split hooves and you can't eat. That's what we see in Parsha Shmini, or the list of animals which you can't eat. There's also something else, a nevela. What does nevela mean? Nevela means a carcass. It means that if it didn't die on a day shechita by shechting it with a knife and doing a proper shechita, you have to make sure you didn't pause in the middle, the knife is smooth. If it didn't die like that, i.e. you stunned it or you killed it or you did a bad shechita, then it becomes a nevela and you can't eat it. It's called a nevela. Then there's a third type, which is called a treifa. Although we really call everything treif, any non-kosher food we call treif, in the Torah terminology, the only thing that's really called a treifa is something with an animal which is terminally ill. It says in the Torah, "Ubasa basada treifa lo sechelu." A person is not. We learn that to mean in the Gemara in Chulin, a person is not allowed to eat an animal which is terminally ill. The Mishnah and the Gemara give us plenty of examples. For example, maybe it's got a hole in the intestines, or it's got spine problems, or maybe it's fallen from a high place, or maybe a wolf. It's a sheep, and a wolf's attacked it and stuck its claws into the cavity of the animal. That makes it a treif because we know that will die within a year. That's a treif. We've got a vela. We've got a non-kosher animal and a treifa. Now, if you're not sure if something's a treifa, says the Gemara, there are certain ways you can see. For example, some Amoraim say that if they can't reproduce anymore, these animals, and they can't have babies anymore, then it means that they are a treifa. But we pass, the way to see if something's a treifa is if it will die within a year. If you're not sure, you have an animal, let's say you have a cow, and you're not sure if this cow a treifa or not. You have a suffix, you're not sure if it's a hole in the heart, you're not sure what it is, you're not sure if you saw correctly, so you know what? You can leave it for a year, if let's say it's still alive, sorry. And if it dies within that year, then you're probably right, it is a trefa. But if it doesn't, then it probably isn't. So that's why we paskin that a trefa will die. Now, there's a Tosfos in Chulin, when he talks about the trefas on the head, he says that if you take someone's skull and you carve a hole out of it, then you won't become treif. That means if you have like a hole in your skull, only if you attack the brain itself, then you'll become treif. Of course, nowadays how this works with the brain surgery exactly, but if you take the skull and you take a piece out of the skull, nothing will happen to the animal. And Tosfos says there that ma'ase b'cholyo we see Tosfos Chulin men beis on beis, that people walk around with holes in their skull. I don't know if anyone's here ever seen anyone walking around. So it says many people walk around with holes in their skull. So then when we learnt it, then we thought it was quite strange. I remember about 3 years ago and about 3 years later, when I was in Bournemouth on the summer holidays, I didn't see anyone with a hole in their skull. But it was Sunday morning, and then, so Sunday morning, so if you've ever spent summer in Bournemouth, you know that there's, if it's Sunday morning and it's raining, it's likely that you'll see all the people you see in Shafis, you'll see them later on in Moores Valley Country Park, and you'll see them in the car boot sale. So the same crowd hangs around everywhere. So I was in the car boot sale, picking up useless things, as you generally do in the car boot sale. And there was a book that said loads of useless facts. So I thought that's quite suitable for a car boot sale, useless things, useless facts. And I opened the book, and I was leafing through it, and it said there's something called trepanning. It devoted the whole page to it, and it said that they found out in the 1800s, that in ancient times, people used to, if they had, let's say, problems of depression or serious mental illness or seriously bad headaches, they would go to this guy, the trepanner, I presume his name was, and he would have a special scalpel, and he would basically carve a hole in your skull and leave it open there for the rest of your life, and they used to live happily ever after. That's what it said. They seem to have found out this is what they used to do while they were still alive, and then they used to live happily ever after. Of course, we knew about this from Tosfos had already told us about this well before the 1800s, before they had found out that people to cure any sort of mental illness in the head, they used to leave a hole in the skull. Now, this is only, just to get slightly technical for a minute, if you take the scalpel and you take the skull without touching the brain itself, so you touch the brain and you're finished. You have to be very careful, if you want to do it at home, very careful with your scalpel that you shouldn't actually go into the brain. Or maybe you shouldn't try it, I don't know.
You shouldn't try it.
Yeah, they send it for children usually, I thought everyone's maybe. Anyway, so you have to make sure that you don't touch the brain itself, and you have only the skull. Now, if you just touch the brain itself without the skull from inside, then there's a big difference between an animal and a person. I mean, if someone's brain has a hole in, nothing will happen to them as long as their skull is not taken out as well. If you got both by a person with a person, then it's bad. Now with an animal, if his brain hasn't got a slight dent, he's going to die within a year. Right? So a person, if he has just like a hole in his sac which is holding his brain, I think it's called the dura mater or something, then he won't become a trefa. Nothing will happen to him. However, with an animal, the Mishnah tells us to become a trefa. So what's the difference between the animal and the person? You can have a very, very strong animal. Why are we treated differently to, we're made up of the same thing? An animal, if he has a hole somewhere in his brain, he's dying. He's going to die within a year. But with a person, you've got to take the skull and the brain itself. You've got to take both. That's the difference between an animal and a person. Why? What's the difference between us? We know, Chazal tell us in Gittin, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was having a dialogue with Tiferes HaRasha, who destroyed the second base of Mikdash, then Hashem arranged that a fly entered his nose, and it went up to his brain. So the Gemara says, and it pecked at his brain for 7 years. So it says, Tosfos, how could this be? Surely, so you peck at his brain, but then you become a trefa. So he should die within a year, he should die straight away. How could it be he lived for so long afterwards? It doesn't make any sense. So Tosfos, there's a difference, like we said, between a person and an animal. An animal, maybe, if he has something, a hole in his brain, then he'll die within a year and it'll be terrible for him. However, for a person, it won't necessarily be like that. The question is why? What's the difference between an animal and a person? So you've got a fly entering titters through his nose, up to his head, and it's pecking there, but nothing will happen to him. Of course, eventually he dies because the bird is so heavy. It comes into a bird and it becomes very heavy. But he lives for 7 years. And we've said before that a trefa should die within a year. And here you've got a bird attacking his brain, not his skull, And he's living, so how could that be? So, a few hundred years ago, as we know, there's a famous machlokes between Rabbi Yonis and Eibeshitz and Rabbi Yaakov Emden, because Rabbi Yonis and Eibeshitz was giving out amulets, things to heal people if they had ill. If they were ill in a certain area of their body, they would put certain psukim or certain words, holy words on it, and that would heal them. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden accused him of, it was right after the time of Shavsei Tzvi, he accused him of being a fake Mashiach, whatever, that was the whole machlokes. The Gemara already talks about these amulets, much like the Gemara and Shabbos. The Gemara talks about whether you could carry it on Shabbos or not. And for the Gemara says you can have some amulets that work for a person, but they won't work for an animal. So you can have an animal and a person that have the same illness and the same problem. Yet, for a person, they're gonna be healed, and for an animal, not. Says the Gemara, what's the difference? Says the Gemara, Adam isle mazda. Says Rashi, what does that mean? A person has a malach protect them or looking after them. So you can be suffering from the same thing as an animal, and you can have the same problem. Because you've got a malach giving you this extra level of shmira, therefore you won't be affected. This is something which presumably, Adam isle mazda, every single person. You don't have to daven for any extra shmira from Hashem. This is before your tefillahs, when someone's ill, they daven to Hashem, or they learn, or they do mitzvahs. This is before. The present HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, you have a malach, if you have something bad happening to you, it's more likely you'll be killed than an animal because you have a malach. An animal doesn't have any malach looking after him. So therefore, that's why you'll be killed. That's what the Gemara says there. So that's what the Rabbeinu Tam says is the reason with treifas as well. That when you have, if you are, let's say a hole in your brain without your skull, that's what we said before, or titters. He had a fly flying up into his brain, but it didn't actually affect his skull. Now, with an animal, that would be terrible. That would make him die. But with a person, that wouldn't. Why? It says the Rabbeinu Tam, Adam Islay Mazah, which means a person has a malach looking after them. The malach gives a person an extra level of shmira. Please feel free to say anything because I'm only coming from. I think it's much of, well, soon we'll see that it's only by certain people, but I would say, looks like for the Gemara, Adam Islay Mazah. What's Adam? Adam's a guy as well, no? If he's not, I have to call you Adam, yeah. So Adam's only a Jewish person, you mean? I saw someone, I don't remember now. Alright, the Al-Kaponim, so Ayid has a malach looking after them.
Maybe it was the
Yavis. So that's what we say the difference is between a person and an animal. An animal doesn't have a malach looking after now, a person does. Now, this is what I saw originally when we learned the Gemara is in Treifas. Then someone showed me there's Mufurosh Gemara about Malachim. I didn't actually realize at the time. The one of the main Gemaras he showed me is the Gemara in Brachas. Hanichnas lebeis hakisei, oimei eskabdu mechobodim, kedoi shebashar se elyon, tnu chobod elekei yisrael, hofi meni, ad sheakonis ve'eser v'tzoni v'obay aleicha. But as it goes to the bathroom, then he's telling the Malachim outside to wait a second. Says Rashi, and the Malachim hamalavim oisoi, shenema ki Malachav yitzav aloch. The Tosfos has got two Malachim, Rashi, in other places is much clearer, one on the right, one on the left, and they're protecting him. So when he goes to the bath, he wants to tell them to wait. So he says, hischavdim chobodim, my honored Malachim, kadoshim, I'm not going to go through the whole Lashon, which he says, that's what you should say. Abai says, no, don't say that, because then they're going to run away, because the Rabbi said, you should say at the end, hopefully many go away from me. So says Abai to Rabbi, no, don't say that, because then they're going to go away completely. Abai says, you know what you should say? Lo yeme ina shachi, dimo shokile, el shamuni shamuni, azuni azuni, a different Lashon to say to the Malachim. So I don't know, nowadays, if you see someone talking to Malachim outside the bathroom, you probably think he's a bit crazy. So you lock him up inside.
Give him a home.
So because in the Machal Paskin, but nowadays we don't say it. Now, so the Machal brings the actually the Halacha brings a few that are reasons you should say it because it's course not the thing a person has a problem they think they're Torah in the bathroom. If he says this Lashon, he'll be protected from that. The Machal says Achshavay Nogukay. Nowadays we're not knowing to say it. So the Taz and the Beis Yosef explain why. Says the Loi Muchzokim Li Yerushamayim that we're going to get protected. But we ourselves aren't Yerushamayim like they used to be, obviously, and therefore we don't have this extra special protection that we have Malachim looking after us and be malavar us everywhere. That's what he says. That's what the Taz says, and that's what also the other poskim say there as well. Like Malachim Yisavalach Lishmarcha B'chol Durachecha was something which was for the select few, something for the Torah, not something for big tzaddikim. But someone who's not on that level, he doesn't necessarily have it. So to stand outside the bathroom saying, Malachim, Malachim, please go away, it looks like you're trying to be someone who you're not, because you probably don't have Malachim looking after you. It looks like you're trying to be righteous. So a person says, Machabi, when you come to the bathroom, you shouldn't stand outside, you stay Ashayosa afterwards, but before, make sure not to say anything, because you probably are overestimating your own value, because you probably don't have a Malachim coming with. That's what he says. Yeah. So let's just recap till now. So we've had before trefers, right? And we've said that a person is different to an animal because a person has a malach looking after them, but animal probably doesn't. Therefore, even though if you take the skull and the membrane by, just the brain by with a person, then you won't be affected with an animal. It will because the person has a malach. Then we said afterwards that we have a Gemara in Bracha that says, "Anichlas lebeis akisei oymei skavdu mechabadim kadosh mesharis the eloyim." A person, when he comes to the bathroom, should make sure to say a special tefillah, a special lashon for the lach of him. Just to wait outside a second. I'm going to go back in, and I'm going to come out in a second. But the Mechaber said nowadays we don't pass in like that, and you shouldn't say that. Why? Because it's not presumed that you have malachim looking after you. But the Malbim asked, it doesn't make any sense. The Malbim brings in the Sefer Arutz Hachaim, which he wrote. I think he only wrote one chelik on Arachaim. How could it be that the Taz and the Beis Yosef say that a person doesn't have malachim with them, that the Gemara is only talking about for a select few? First of all, what does the Gemara say? Hanichnas the Beis Hakisei, oymei schavdu mechubadim. The Gemara says we're talking about to only big tzaddikim and special people. The Gemara says to everyone. Hanichnas the Beis Hakisei, oymei schavdu mechubadim. So what's mashma from the Gemara, says the Malbim, that every single person has his malachim looking after them. And we say, Kim malachim, Yitzhak malachim, is talking to every single person. Yeah, but Shalom Aleichem could be only, Hashem said for that mission only. We'll come back to Shalom Aleichem in a minute. What? Anyway, so that's the Malbim's first question. Then the Malbim brings from Gemara is clearly where we see and Mamari Chazal, that there was clearly malachim looking after a person. He brings with time to Be'elion a few places, that if a person learns Chumash, he has a malach looking after him. He learns Tanakh, he has two malachim looking after him. If he learns Kol Torah Kulo, then Hashem Baruch Hu itself, he gets an extra level of protection that Hashem is looking after him. That's what he brings for one place. How could the Gemara say over here, the Taz say, this Gemara is only referring to a select few? We see the Gemara says everyone has his malachim looking after them. The Gemara in Tanis says, the time of Klal Yisrael, the whole community is in the matzah of Tzara, and one person feels he doesn't care, he's not part of the community at all. He won't get the same nechama when the tzibur gets cured from this problem. That means a tzibur is going through a certain problem, and a person distances himself, he doesn't try and get involved with it. And two malachim, hamalavin loy la'adam, the two malachim that are with him the whole time, what will they do? They'll say, ploni zeh perish from that tzibur, he won't see the cure when it comes. So we see for the Gemara clearly, if you have two malachim who are walking with a person, the Gemara says clearly that there are two malachim walking with a person, the Gemara doesn't specify that we're specifically talking about tzaddikim, or very, 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 very big tamid chachamim, the Gemara talks about every single person. So how can the Taz say over here that we're only talking about a select few? That's what the Malbim brings. And he brings one more Gemara as well. He says that just before the Gemara in Shabbos, when we spoke about the Malachim who come down for Shalom Aleichem, there's another Gemara. And the Gemara says, That means a person is shul Friday night and he says Vayechulu. So after he says Vayechulu, then what happens? The two malachim, Hamalav and the Adam, that are with a person everywhere, what do? They go ahead and they put their hands on his head and they say all your averus should be forgiven when a person says Vayechulu. So we see clearly from this Gemara that everyone seems to have these malachim. So how can we say it's only a select few of people? So I'm not going to try and answer these questions. He passes himself, and therefore you should say it. So if he's someone saying it, obviously he's passing like the Malbim, but that everyone should say, because everyone has malachim, it's not only for big Yiras Shemayim. Also, I saw a story they brought from the Munkacha, that he didn't say it, but I think when he used to be in a room by himself, and they used to go to the bathroom, they used to overhear him say, I'll be back in a minute. And there was often no one in the room. So they used to take on, that he obviously understood he was on such a level, maybe it's possible like the Malbim, that one should say it. Anyway, I'm not going to attempt to answer it, but I just want to share with you a Ramban on this week's Sedra, which I think is mashma like the Taz is saying, even though we have all these Gemaras. Because in the beginning of the Sedra, what happens is Yaakov Avinu, everyone knows he lies down on the stone and he falls asleep. So after he falls asleep, he has a dream. He has a dream, and there's a ladder, and there's a Malachim going up, and there's a Malachim going up, and there's a Malachim coming down. So after there's Malachim coming up and coming down, the Pasuk says in the end, "Vahashem nitzav olav." It means Hashem was standing on it. So what does it mean Hashem was? Hashem is everywhere. Hashem is everywhere. What does it mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu was specifically there? So Rashi says one word. Rashi says, the Shomroi, to guard him. What does it mean to guard him? The Sefer Chachamim, there's a lot going on over here. Because these Malachim were going up and down the ladder. Now, the Malachim, they're obviously in touch with Shomayim, with what goes on. And they saw, and they knew on the Kisei HaKavod was engraved the face of Yaakov Avinu. That's what they saw. That means right next to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever that means, there was the face of Yaakov Avinu. So they knew that. So now they were coming down the ladder, and they were going up the ladder. And they saw, hey, this is Yaakov Avinu, who's engraved in the Kisei HaKavod. This is what the Sefer Chachamim says. And they got very, very jealous. Because for them, of course, they saw someone who was so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Melech Malkei HaMelechim, and they couldn't contain themselves. They wanted to attack Yaakov Avinu, which Malachim could do. So therefore, Hashem had to protect him in that specific time. Why? Because he knew that Malachim were going to attack him. That's what it says of Hashem, that's of Allah, the Shomroi. Hashem was giving a very short-term level of Shmira. Why? Because he knew that he was in a dangerous situation, and he needed, therefore, the extra protection from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Rashi says. Now the Ramban says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was showing him, look, there's Malachim going up and down the ladder. Vashem Netzav Olav, and I'm right to the top, I'm going to protect you. That means I'm not going to leave your protection up to Malachim. I'm going to do that myself. I'm going to protect you from now on myself. That's what the Ramban says in the beginning of this week's Sedra. Rashi understands Hashem Netzav Olav is a short term thing. Like Yaakov was in a dangerous situation. And therefore what needed to happen was Hashem needed to give him this protection from the Malachim. The Ramban says, no, that's not true. Over here, Hashem was telling him long term, I am going to be with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be with you forever, I'm not going to leave your Shmira up to the Malachim. But then the Lashon of the Ramban is like, the Ramban says like this. He says, Rabban was saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was higher than who? Not the regular Yin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was higher than other tzaddikim who we know. The Rabban clearly understood, like the Taz and the Beis Yosef is saying, that really what we mean to say is only tzaddikim have the special maila of having malachim protect them the whole time. And for the Gemara in Brach is obviously only referring to a select few and not to everyone. And the Gemara Sanhedrin tells us that when David and Bathsheba were benching Shlomo when he was young, they bring the pasuk in Tehillim. It says, "Lo'isuna alecha ra, but nega la'ikrav ba'alecha. No harm will befall you. No plague will enter your tent. Ki malachim yisamalach neshmocha b'chol derachecha." So the Gemara Sanhedrin in the Parachelik tells us there's two halves of this bracha which they benched him. There's the first half and the second half. The first half is what the father benched him, and the second half is what the mother. No harm will befall you. What does that mean? That you won't be affected by the Yitzhara. These are fatherly blessings to a son. He wants to make sure he won't be affected by the Yitzhara. He won't have bad dreams or bad thoughts. But no plague will enter your text. Your wife shouldn't be a suffering nidah, and you'll be overcome by Yitzhara. This is what David was mentioning Shlomo with. Then it carries on the pasuk. Ki malach v'yisavolach l'shmor cho v'chol d'rachecha al kapayim yisoncho pentikov v'ever at lecha. That means, what does that mean? That was what Bathsheba was benching Shlomo with. That Malachim should be with you and they should protect you. Your mother's always concerned for more the physical well-being of the child. Therefore, she was saying, Malachim, Yisavolach, v'shmorcha b'chol derachecha, and palms, they will carry these Malachim that come with you. So I thought from this Gemara, it's mashma. I mean, who was talking over here? Bathsheba talking to Shlomo. Shlomo Melech was a tzaddik, right? He was a Jewish man in this age. So obviously, how do we see from this pasuk that every single person that is zoichet to have malachim accompanying him, If we look at the Makar of where it was actually from, we would see that it was only really Bathsheba who said it to Shlomo HaMelech. And therefore only someone who's on a very high level would have these Malachim looking after them. Either way, we see from the Rishonim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu offers special extra protection to a person who's oyster b'Torah, oyster b'mitzvahs, and the closer you get, and the more mitzvahs, and the more davening, the more mitzvah a person does, the higher level of shmirah which he has, and which we should all have a high level of shmirah and shkoyach.
Nice one.